Well, as we continue to worship, I want us to listen to the words found in the first two verses of Psalm 100. The psalmist says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." As our choir brings us into a time of worship, and as we hear the congregation sing praises to our God, how amazing is it to hear us sing as the church in unison to the Father who loves us so dearly. Let's continue to worship and pray now. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you so much for this moment in time where you have brought us together as your church to sing praises to your name. We want to sing joyfully. We want to worship you through song. And Lord, we want to be touched by your presence as your Holy Spirit guides us with wisdom about how to live the week before us. Show us how to always live in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, as we pray in his name now. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 248. Let's stand and sing, "God Our Father, We Adore Thee."
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us today and every day. Father, we thank you for this day and allowing us to come into your house to hear your word. We ask that you might bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
morning. I can always see you look at whatever I have in my hand, kind of wondering, what is he going to do with that this week? Well, I think it's easy for you to tell me what this is, right? Bread. Right, this is bread. Bread comes in so many different kinds of varieties, right? You have muffins, biscuits, a roll. You have a hot dog bun. You can have sliced bread too, right? That's probably the most common type of bread. I wanted to ask you, have you ever eaten a sandwich before? I figure so, right? Do you have a favorite kind of sandwich that you like? What's your favorite kind of sandwich? Peanut butter. I love that. What else? What kind? Turkey and cheese. That's a popular one. I like that too. What about peanut butter and jelly? Has everybody had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before? I think probably everybody in this sanctuary has probably had one before at some time, maybe. It's really popular, but I wanted to ask another question. Even though you've probably eaten a sandwich before, have you ever eaten a meal or had bread before during a day and said, just because I've eaten today doesn't mean I have to eat tomorrow? Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm eating a meal today, so I don't have to eat tomorrow? No, that's silly, right? I know that would be a silly question. You know, you need to eat today, and just because you ate today doesn't mean you don't have to eat tomorrow. You're going to need to eat again tomorrow, and the next day after that, hopefully, right? It kind of is an everyday thing. Well, Jesus knew that, and so he teaches us something when he's telling us how to pray. There's one verse in what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus tells us something very specific, and you may think he's talking about this kind of bread, but he's not. So I'm going to talk about what he is telling us after I read it to you, okay? Matthew 6, 11, it's a short verse, one easy to memorize and for us to remember this week. Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Now what he is saying is, yes, we should pray for our actual food. We should pray for God to provide us with food. But we also should always pray for God to provide us how to follow Jesus Christ each and every day. We need to pray to Jesus, how can we follow what you teach us to do today? And you could do a great job of it today. I mean, you're here now worshiping, right? That's wonderful. But tomorrow morning, you need to pray again with your family. Jesus, show me how to follow you today. And again, the next day after that, each and every day, Jesus wants us to ask him, how can I follow you today? To make sure I'm doing what you want me to. Okay? So I hope that's what you do this week, because I'll be praying for you to do just that. All right? Let's pray about that now. God, thank you so much for the children sitting here now in the congregation, listening to how we can pray to you and ask you to give us our daily bread, a daily understanding of how to follow your will. We pray for that now. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength forever. Love is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. Brings confusion, and I don't know what to do. On my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me.
Thank you, Harmonettes, and Leonard on the piano for leading us in worship there. And can you imagine what it's going to be like to sing in the heavenly choir? Now, I'm not getting up a busload right now, but we're going to sing praise Him, and sing it as if there's a million people, just millions of angels around you. They are here. We just can't see them. We need to hear you sing it. 227. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Turn to number 404, responsive reading. Claire will read the light print, and if you will respond by reading the dark bold print.
if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion.
Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped,
but made himself nothing, take the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank the Harmonettes for singing. And before you wonder if Leonard and I sent a memo to each other, we didn't. We just ended up like this. But it looks good, I think. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. There are some names I'd like to add to our prayer list that we need to be remembering. Anthony Harrington has been in the hospital this week. He is out now, but we want to continue to remember him in our prayers. You see, Rebecca had a procedure this week. She's doing better. We appreciate your continued prayers for her. Sandy Tillotson will be having surgery in the near future. We want to be remembering Sandy. Betty Yarborough has been in the hospital. She was discharged yesterday. Debbie Hurley will be going this Tuesday back to Duke. There is some opportunities of some test studies that she may be involved in. We want to keep Debbie lifted up in our prayers in a very special way, Debbie Hurley. And then you see Jimmy Bridges also had surgery this past Friday, and he was here earlier. I don't know if he's still here or not. I know he was here this morning. We want to keep Jimmy as he recuperates. Our list is long. Our ongoing concerns of folks who need our continued prayer, all valuable in God's eyes and in our eyes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think of humility today, it is indeed humble when we bow our heads before you and recognize with whom we have an audience. We are unworthy to even bow before you. But yet, God, you insist we do so. And so here we are again, your people, called by your name, bought by your Son's cross, that we might have life and have it eternally. And again, God, we present this prayer list before you today and the names and the people that are there. And we ask, oh God, that you might bless them as you know there is need, that you might comfort them where you know there is the need for comfort, that you might strengthen them in their weakness, that you might heal them in their infirmities, that you might love them with that life-changing love that still flows from Calvary's heel. And God, would you speak to us this morning about our walk with you, that we might indeed be those kind of people who indeed understand our call is to walk humbly with you. Forgive us wherein we're haughty. Forgive us wherein we have been prideful. Forgive us when our motivation has been ourselves rather than you. And create in us a clean heart and a new way that we might move into your future. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, been saved by grace. I love when folks do the acronym of GRACE, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Indeed, today I want us to focus our energy upon God's love for us and our response to that love. And I've entitled our message this morning, Becoming Humble. Becoming humble. I was in the era when Mac Davis was on the top 140, and one of his songs was, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Each morning I look in the mirror, I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me, I must be," and he uses some I won't, "a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." And I wonder, are we doing the best we can? I wonder if I'm doing the best I can at being humble. You know, I didn't listen to the debates. I'm sure all of you did, so you can tell me later who to vote for. But I didn't hear a lot of humility coming out of that. Did any of them say, "I'm just a humble man"? I like to watch sports. Do you ever hear an athlete say, "Well, I'm just a humble hitter. I'm just a humble pitcher"? I like to watch golf. And some reason, I don't see that idea of being humble being a very popular thing in our society. I remember a few years ago, more than a few years ago, a lot of years ago, when I was pastoring Conoke, our church had given to the state mission offering and was in the top 10%. And they sent us this nice plaque at the house, or to the church. And I mean, it was like made out of real wood, you know. It was a big deal. And I had gone to the convention that year, and a guy was sitting next to him, and he says, you know, they're going to recognize the top 10 churches. And so folks started making their way to the stage, and I started making my way to the stage. But we were in the top 10%. We weren't in the top 10. And there were about 7,000 people at the Greensboro Coliseum. And there were all these guys lined up to receive their top 10 award. And there was an 11th guy there. That was me. You know, I think I prayed, Lord, let a little hole just open up right here and just let me go boom, right through it. Sometimes when you're not as humble maybe as you ought to be, maybe I should have waited to be called. When you're not as humble, sometimes you get humiliated, and that's the way it happened in our story today. Jesus is going to give us another parable. It's found in Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. We're going to read this little parable, verses 7 through 11. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? And now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noticed how they chose the places of honor. We might call this the head table. You know, if you've been to a thing and the noted people would be at the head table. When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, that head table, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come to say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Read that again. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, it is hard to be humble. And we know we're not perfect in every way. But to create a spirit of humility, to make us literally, as Isaiah said, to be the clay in the potter's hand, that is a call for humility. And sometimes we become rigid, and sometimes we become hard, and you can't mold us after your will. So speak to us today about becoming more humble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was reading this week and someone put it this way. Do we have a dog-like faith? Or a cat-like faith? Go ahead and let you know, if you're a cat lover, you might not like where I'm going with this story, okay? It's not bad. I think you'll agree. The person who wrote this, and I didn't catch their name as I was doing some reading in different places, said that when the master of a dog pets the dog's head, the dog looks up and says, my master must be a god. But when you pat a cat on the head, The cat looks up and purrs, I must be God. You see the difference? Let me ask it another way. How do we receive God's blessing? Do we say, what have you done for me lately, God? I appreciate all that stuff you used to do, all that stuff you have done. But that was then. This is now. What will you do for me today? Jesus gives us this life-changing parable about where to sit at a wedding. Now, our weddings aren't exactly like theirs, so this story is somewhat in ancient times, but in that time when society was pretty set into different levels, as you will, there were those who were the haves and there were those who were the have-nots. And sometimes when you would come to public gatherings, it was obvious who was who, and you sat, you ate, you did a lot of things in an order that not only demonstrated to your host your presence, but also to all those there, your prominence. And so we have this story, an embarrassing story, like me in the Greensboro Coliseum, when if you get yourself in the wrong place, you don't get the result you hope to find. The story is quite simple. Jesus says, if you go and you sit where you shouldn't, you'll be embarrassed when someone says, I'm sorry, you can't sit there. You're not that kind of guy. You need to get up and move over here. And yet how much honor there is to be sitting in that low seat and then to be saying, oh, no, 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 you can't sit there. You need to come to this better seat. How many of us today would like for God to invite us to a better seat? How many of us would like for God to say, I want to have a stronger, more intimate conversation with you. I want to do more things in your life, in your marriage, in your family, at work, at school. How can we do that? Well, the obvious first step is to think of others first. Jesus, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself, he meant that. Put others first. Our nature will be to think of ourselves first. We can understand that tendency. If we don't look after us, who will? That is what our society says. I've told you before that old saying, if you take advantage of me once, shame on you. If you take advantage of me twice, you know how that works, right? Shame on me. That's our society. And yet, maybe Jesus was approaching that when Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive someone who does me wrong? Seven? Remember what Jesus said? Oh, that was a strong answer. That's an answer, if we really ponder upon it, it'll have us laying awake at night, not sleeping very well. At 7 times 70, he wasn't looking for any finite number. He was saying every time. Humble. Being humble. You see, if I am to really be a humble person, I must first understand that other people are important. Other people are important. Have you ever had anybody irritate you on the highway? You ever had anybody irritate you in the grocery store? At Walmart? For you who aren't quite as humble, Sam's. I was just joking about that. Have you ever had someone, when you ride by my house, you'll notice there's a cable. It's still under my driveway. I'm looking at my neighbors. I got to quit looking at them. It's been there for a long time. I've made some phone calls. It's hard to be humble when you get irritated, isn't it? hard to be humble when somebody disappoints you. It's hard to be humble when folks aren't doing what they ought to do. Others first. Jesus really couldn't have been serious, could he? Really be serious about forgiving? I think he was. You know how and why I think he was? Because of the cross. Because of the cross. Those weren't nice people who nailed Jesus to the cross. That wasn't a sweet little experience for Christ. His demonstration of his love, of humility, to be stripped naked, to be bruised for my transgressions and your transgressions. When he says to put others first, I think he means it. Which leads me to our second thought this morning, to offer ourselves like Christ did. Jesus, the one telling this parable, is the one who will indeed endure the cross. That single event changed history. That single event when the Lord and Clara just led us in that reading, when in Paul's writing he says, and Jesus, you know, God did not think it even a wrong thing for Christ to put on human flesh, to humble himself, to leave the treasures and the glory of heaven for us. If we're to be humble, we have to offer ourselves like Christ did. Are we in the right place at the right time with our neighbor? Are we in the right place at the right time at the grocery store? Are we in the right place at the right time at work or at school? That if we were to humble ourselves like Christ, it might communicate something. You see, we live in that world, as I started, about being successful and having accomplishments and halls of fame and going into important places. And yet, I guess Jesus is in the hall of shame. Because it was a disgrace to die on a cross. It was such a disgrace that a Roman citizen could not be executed that way by Roman law. It was considered too humiliating for a citizen of Rome. Oh, they'd put him to death in barbaric ways, but not by the cross. You see, that hall of shame was for the worst of the worst. And that's how Jesus died. When we take the humble seat, it's because we do see others as being important. We are loving our neighbors. And I have found you can proudly sit in the humble seat. You know that? You can proudly sit in a humble seat. You could walk in and say, I think I'll just take this lowly seat. And y'all watch, because they're going to invite me up to a better one. It is hard to be humble. It's very, very hard to be humble. And it leads us to our last thought this morning, that of obedience to God. Look with me again at verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself, he'll be exalted. Jesus says that in different ways. He says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And he says, if anyone will give up himself and take up a cross and follow me, Micah, when he was trying to encourage, we did this past Wednesday night in our prayer service, and we looked at this great passage where God was bringing an indictment against Israel, who's now under the rule of the Assyrian government because of her disobedience. And that question is, what does God desire? And Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, old man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God and to walk humbly with your God. I wonder how we're walking with God. I think the last step as the most important one. You see, if we could accomplish anything today in worship, it might begin to make those changes in our life that would lead us to be more like God. It would be for us simply to understand who God is. Because I believe that somehow in our society, and even in our faith, there is a tendency to put on blinders. I think back to one moment in my life when the gates of heaven opened in such a powerful way. And there have been three or four what I might call touchstone places in my life, and I hope maybe there's some in yours. But being raised as the son of the pastor, I was raised in church. All I know is church. All I ever want to know is church. I love the church. But I remember, as far back as I can remember, being in church. And I don't know when I learned John 3:16. And I don't know when I learned Amazing Grace. And I don't know when I learned so much of what I know, because I learned it before really I could even remember I was learning. But let me tell you what I do remember vividly, as though it were this morning. I remember when Reverend Raymond Head was preaching revival at Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I was sitting on what would be the second row. And for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I didn't sit where the youth sat, which was in the back. I'm so proud of our youth sitting at the front. You look so wonderful there. But all the youth at Second Baptist sat in the back corner. And I don't know why that day. I may have just been trying to be different. I was about 12 years old. And you know, sometimes when you're 12, you just want to be different. And so when I made my way, I went right by them all. And I know they said, "Where's Gary going?" Maybe I wanted to see if they'd all come up there with me, and they didn't. But I sat on that second row. And I remember, as that service progressed, for some reason at that moment, my mind left Chattanooga, Tennessee. It left Second Baptist Building on Main Street in Chattanooga. And I began to recognize and realize what I've been doing for the last 12 years. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." I saw that "for God so loved Gary McCullough." That was different. A little blinder kind of went off. And the more I sat there in that sermon, and the more I thought about how Christ loved me, and the more I thought about what God did for me and how God wanted for me and Him to be in a relationship, the more I thought about that, the more the blinders seemed to fall off, and suddenly they were all gone. And yet, when they were all gone, I don't know that I saw anybody in the sanctuary either, because for that moment, I was focused on the awesome God of my salvation. And in that moment, my heart was broken. And I began to weep, and I weep for the next 2 hours. My heart was broken, and yet it was full of joy. For I realized two realities: that the God of the universe loved me and sent His Son to die for me, and it hurt my heart that Jesus had to pay for my sin. That hurt my heart. And yet my heart was full of joy because I recognized that He was inviting me to a lifetime of relationship. I wonder today, how are we walking with God? I wish I could tell you that every moment from then forth I've walked humbly with God. That would not be honest. I've walked with God in my own strength. How about you? I've walked with God in my own way sometimes. Sometimes I've tried to tell God, how silly, but I have what to do, what He needed to do, what I thought He ought to do, what I wished He would do, what I wanted Him to do. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Whoever humbles himself, because this is what I discovered in those touched places of my life when I think back to those life-changing moments. Because I want to tell you, when I walked out of Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my world was different. It was different. And you know what? I've got good news. We could walk out of this building today different if we choose to. Are we in the right place? You know, I remember hearing, oh, you should have been here yesterday. The fish were really biting. I wonder if they're biting today. I wonder if the Holy Spirit right now is saying to us, I can do more in your life if you'll let me. I can do more in your family if you'll let me. I can do more in the struggles of life if you let me. And we want to say, well, yes, Lord, do more. We want that. That would be fantastic. That's what we need. That's what we hope for. Do more. Then maybe we need to get up out of the seat we're sitting in and move to a different chair. And see if God will invite us to another seat. Being in the right place at the right time, it's everything. It's everything. I am totally convinced that if not all of us, almost all of us that are here in this place this day are walking with our God. So I have one question. Are we walking humbly with Him? For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Obedience to God, more than to self. Offering ourselves like Christ and seeing others as valuable to God will make a difference. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment, this day. Thank you for your love and your grace that transcend our sin and our circumstance. For today we stand before you as people with burdens. We've walked into this building today and we may have smiled at everyone we've seen, but inside there are storms raging. We've walked in our own strength. And now we're about to walk out. And we've got to make a decision about how we're going to leave this worship experience where we have sung of your grace and your love for us. And we're going to walk out and make a decision about whether we're going to be humble servants following Christ, or strong, self-made men and women, like our culture would call us to do. And somebody here today needs to make a real big decision about how they're fixing to leave this building. I don't know who that person is, but you do, oh God. And right now, as surely as you met a 12-year-old boy at Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who wrestled not with what the preacher was saying or what was happening in the sanctuary, but with what was happening in his heart with his God. Someone may well be having that struggle right now. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to that heart. And I ask it, believing that when we humble ourselves, you are faithful to receive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 238, Breathe on Me. Oh, today, if we would have God to breathe on us, then surely we must humble ourselves before Him. What is God saying to you? And how will we respond to Him as we stand together? As we prepare to leave, let me remind you of just a couple of things. One thing I want you to notice in the bulletin, that on August the 23rd, we're going to have a special call business meeting at 10:45. That's not a misprint. That's not 9:45. That is 15 minutes before worship. We're going to dismiss Sunday school a little bit early. And for the purpose of that call meeting will be to do our nomination for the members to serve on the diaconate. We're wanting to do that. We don't like doing it during our morning worship, but we also would like to have as many people possible to be a part of that process. So we're going to try this time. And so there'll be a call business meeting at 10:45 on August the 23rd. And during that time, we'll pass out the ballots. We will, the nomination slips. You will nominate. And then we'll dismiss and go right into our worship. The choir will be doing that in the choir area. One of our deacons will be in there to do that in that place. Just so you know that. Hopefully you saw the big announcement about the fifth Sunday night sing. Men, we do have breakfast this coming Sunday this coming Sunday. I think we've got it in there the 23rd, but that would be the 16th. Thank you. I need somebody doing math for me. Thank you. That's this Sunday, so we ask you to note that as well. And then we also ask everyone to remember that you are prayerfully considering the suggestion by the diaconate that we see August as our catch-up month, and especially the last Sunday in August as a catch-up Sunday in our offering. We were able to cut into the deficit last Sunday, but I don't know what it's going to look like after that 3,500, but it will be below the 6,000 that you see we need. There will be more coming in from the morning worship. Hopefully you'll prayerfully and let the Holy Spirit guide you in your faithfulness to giving to God as we do that on that last Sunday. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be God's humble people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your Spirit in this place this day. And now as we depart, may we serve you by being those humble servants of yours, using Christ as our example. In Jesus' name.
God's love.